Good evening, hello, and welcome to the Road to the Garden podcast. We got a full panel here today. It's me, Matt St. Jean, as always, with Tommy Godin and Ryan Cassidy and Chris the Dinga coming back on the show. How you doing, guys?
Great. Thank you so much for having us.
Really got all of you at once on that one. That was I'm sure the audio listeners are going to love that one. Just a reminder, you can find us on YouTube if you'd like. Go ahead and subscribe there if you want to see our faces. Or if you're watching live on Twitter or YouTube right now, thank you for doing that. We got a fun show on tap today. We got some big news in the Big East. Georgetown finally gets a win. Xavier sweeps UConn. We got a Xavier-Creighton game this weekend we're going to be previewing, along with a pretty full Big East slate between Saturday and Sunday. Five games this weekend. And I know we had done some award stuff before. Now we're going to do a Big East draft. We're going to draft four teams of eight players here, see who can come up with the best team and kind of talk through some of the best players in the Big East. I think this is a good way to look at who we think the best players in the conference are and talk about what it is we like about them and the way they play together. So this is going to be a fun one. Just a couple of reminders before we get into it. First, we've teamed up with SeatGeek this season to get you the best deals for tickets to your favorite teams. SeatGeek takes the confusion out of buying tickets, and they're here to give you some great deals. Get in on the fun and head over to SeatGeek, download their app, and use code NCAA Hoops Digest for $20 off your first purchase. If you're looking for some Big East tickets for action this weekend, go ahead. Use that code. It works, I promise. And also a reminder, this podcast is presented by House Enterprise and in partnership with House of College Hoops. Head over to our site, house-enterprise.com, for more info. All right, guys, let's get into this. The game of the week, in my eyes, was that DePaul at Georgetown game on Tuesday night. DePaul had just taken down Xavier the week before. They head down. They lose Georgetown's first Big East win in 682 days. They pull it out 81-76. And Tommy, I'll start with you on this. Did you see this coming? And what were your thoughts on what happened?
Yeah, I don't think anyone saw it coming until it actually happened. I mean, it was actually, you know what? I take that back. I saw it coming as soon as we had Lawrence on here saying that all DePaul has to do is get off the bus and they're going to win. Shout out, exposed. But no, I mean, it was perfect. That whole game, everything about it was perfect. DePaul coming in off the win against Xavier, you know, there's no way they can lose to Georgetown, right? I mean, it was always going to be DePaul that snapped that Georgetown losing streak. But Primo Spears, again, team high 21, and he had six assists there. He looked really good, played all 40 minutes in that one. Really impressive stuff from him yet again. All I can say is extend Patrick Ewing, give him another 10 years, pick up a couple more free wins in the Big East for the top tier teams.
Chris, do you agree with Tommy? Do you think they're going to get a couple more wins here in the Big East after that?
No, this is it. And this is probably the last game that Patrick Ewing will win, honestly, which is a bummer. But that's just how things are worked out. Good for them, though. I'm glad they got a win and they had the court storm and everything, which is hilarious. Yeah, good for Georgetown.
Ryan, was there anything you noticed about this game that Georgetown was doing differently that got the win, or did they just finally get it to break their way?
No, DePaul doesn't play defense either. So yeah, two teams that don't play any defense playing against each other. Georgetown outshot DePaul on the night. I mean, we know Georgetown can play offense. That's not their problem. But, you know, if you look at the metrics for defense in conference play, Georgetown's by far the worst defense, and DePaul's the second worst. So. But good for Georgetown, good for Primo Spears, good for Patrick Ewing. It's awesome. And I'm not convinced they can't win another one.
Yeah, I think they might have, not to spoil anything here, but I think they might have a winnable game coming up this Sunday against St. John's for the St. John's team that we just saw at MSG. We'll see what happens in this one. One of the things that kind of jumped out to me when you look at the box score too, Georgetown took 41 free throws in this game. I think was a huge part of why they were able to be so successful. They really attacked the rim, I felt like, and it's just, you play at home, you get the whistle, you play against a team that isn't good at defense, so you're going to get in good position anyway, and I thought that was huge in pulling this one out.
Yeah, I mean, a cook, I think, had an outstanding game. Not, I mean, we're talking about crappy defense here, but I do want to give him his flowers a little bit. He had four blocks in this game, including one that he pinned up against the backboard, which is just, I think, one of the coolest things you can do in a basketball game as a big man. That's got to be the best feeling, right? Just pinning it and having it getting stuck between the rim and the backboard. So, yeah, I do want to give a cook his flowers there. And, yeah, I mean, I think teams like St. John's, like Butler, thank God Villanova already played them twice. I think a lot of them are looking in their rearview mirror now, and they're saying, oh, like the floodgates have opened. Maybe there is another win in there.
Yeah, I believe Patrick Ewing said after the game that we got 10 more games left to win here or something like that in Big East play. So I'm amazed he hasn't lost the locker room. They clearly have their eyes set high here.
Yeah, I feel like it has never been an issue for them wanting to play for Ewing, right? Like that team always comes out with energy for the most part. And they put together every game, they have like one moderately decent half of basketball. They just can't put together a whole game. So I'm glad they got it done. But yeah, that team has always been at least somewhat motivated even through the losing streak, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, they're a dangerous team. You know, when you got a guy, Primo Spears puts up 37 points against Xavier, I mean, it's a dangerous team going into anybody. And they got a shooting chance against these St. John's and Butlers and some of these other teams that are struggling.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there with Georgetown. I also want to mention for DePaul, Emoji Gibson, 24 points. Again, he was lights out from deep again. Georgetown didn't really have an answer for him there. They didn't have an answer the first time they played. Ryan, you mentioned that there was no defense between these two teams. And yeah, there was never a defensive adjustment to take away Gibson in this one. He lit up that defense. And I think he's kind of sneakily one of the premier scorers in the conference right now. So DePaul found a good one there. It's a shame the team hasn't been able to rally a little bit more around him, especially after that game against Xavier. But they get Marquette at home this weekend, which is going to be an interesting one. The other big game this week, Xavier leads from wire to wire at Gamble to beat UConn 82-79. The Musketeers go up by as many as 17 points at the start of the second half. Ryan, I know you were there. What was the emotion like in the building at that point once you get a 17-point lead from Xavier and then UConn battles all the way back to come within one but can't finish the deal?
Yeah, I mean, halftime, it was dead. You know, I mean, there was just kind of like a disbelief around everybody that they were playing this poorly, that they're getting run out of their own building. And then that comeback was the loudest I've heard Gamble in years. And then I was told that the TV cut away from Danny Hurley running on the floor and pumping up the crowd after Andre Jackson's dunk. But like the crowd just was, it was wild in there. But they couldn't pull it off. They didn't have enough in the tank, which, you know, kind of sucks. But it was a great game all around.
Yeah, that was an exciting night. The TV didn't catch that, but I'm not surprised Dan Hurley was able to fire up that crowd. Chris, this was this was our game of the week for Road to the Garden here. It lived up to the hype. What did you take away from the two teams?
Yeah, it's kind of weird because they lost. But I feel almost after that second half, I feel almost more confident in UConn's long-term ability than I did before the game. Even they were able to put that half together and show they still can compete with anybody. I mean, how many times do you see in college basketball a team gets down in the first half and they expend all this energy to get it back to competitive basketball again, and then they don't have that next gear to close out the game. But yeah, Xavier's awesome, and UConn went toe to toe with them for, you know, 30 of the minutes. So kudos to both teams. Thanks for a very entertaining a couple hours. But yeah, UConn fans, don't be worried about this. Like, they're okay. We're okay.
Tommy, do you agree there?
I do. I do. I was very encouraged by Jordan Hawkins again. His offensive output has been just fantastic for most of the year. 28 more points again tonight. Last night. But Tristan Newton was also very impressive for me. He had 23 in this one. UConn's going to be just fine. I think they're going to learn more from this loss than they would have in a blowout win. It was like a game of like serious cat and mouse. Like they were like this close. So many, I think they cut the lead to 1 point like five times or something crazy like that. It was, an edge of the seat type finish. I'm glad to hear Ryan say that it was the most excited he's heard Gamble in years, because that was, I feel like their last year, their first year back in the Big East was kind of like, eh, now they're back. And you see that Hurley clip going around, and that's reinforcing that.
Yeah, I was impressed. I like what you said about the cat and mouse, because I felt like the coaching adjustments worked that way too. Thought Sean Miller had the upper hand at first. I really liked what Xavier's offense did. Dan Hurley came out with some nice adjustments. I thought the 1-3-1 zone they were doing there, Ryan, was working really well. And then I thought the final couple possessions where you had to have it, Xavier made the right plays on offense against the zone and then on defense to counteract what UConn was doing on that final possession.
Yeah, that 1-3-1 press with Andre Jackson at the top of it was really giving Xavier fits. They were able to break it a couple times, but they're in for the entire half. And overall, it was definitely a passing grade. But Hurley did talk about in the post game, you know, they need to fix their man-to-man defense, that he felt it was so bad in the first half that they couldn't continue to run it. So there's some issues there, and they need to figure out what they're doing. But it's good to have know that you have that press zone in your back pocket when you need it.
Yeah, playing a true man-to-man against Xavier is so tough, just because there's weapons all over the floor, right? Like, their ball movement is so good, and every guy can beat you. You can't hyper focus in on, you know, two guys, because every single guy's a scorer. It's tough, man. Like, that team is just mega hard to defend.
Yeah, coming into the game, I know Xavier's worst three-point shooter in the starting lineup is Adam Kunkel, who shoots like 39.5%.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Nuts. No, they hit some big shots down the stretch. You got to give Boom and Jones a ton of credit. They didn't shrink when the building got rocking. You know, they stepped up for the moment.
Yeah, it's a very mentally tough Xavier team to play in that moment and figure things out down the stretch. How high do we think the ceiling is for Xavier? Is this team Final Four capable, national championship capable?
I'd like to see them figure it out on the defensive end a little bit more first before I go into Final Four and national championship contender. But I mean, this offense is right up there with Marquette as one of the best in the country. We saw that again last night.
Yeah, Final Four definitely seems very feasible. Championship is where I'd kind of maybe draw the line. I don't know. Yeah, like Tommy said, I don't know if the defense is at that caliber yet. I know Sean Miller wants to build that program around defense, but it's just not quite there yet, whether it be personnel or just, you know, getting the system to work. But yeah, Final Four, absolutely.
I wouldn't want to run into them on, what are they, a 2 seed right now? Maybe a 3 seed? Yeah. I wouldn't want them in my bracket.
No. No, not at all. How about UConn? I think we presumed this team was going to be the 1 seed at one point. I don't think a 1 seed is on the table anymore for them. I think they can still get a top 4 seed here. Do we think they can make a run in March?
I think personally, I think UConn's more equipped to make a run than maybe Xavier. I mean, I think the offenses are close, but UConn's just that much better on defense when they're clicking. And that's a big if and when. If they're clicking on all cylinders, like if we get the UConn team that beat Alabama in the Phil Knight, then that's a team I would, like Ryan said, I would not want to see that team in my region of the bracket.
Yeah, get the old takes exposed for me here. But of the five like upper echelon Big East teams, I think UConn's ceiling might be the lowest. They don't have still, I think they kind of lack that. Yeah, there you go. Nice, nice, nice. They kind of lack that, you know, ball handling playmaker. Tristan Newton can do it at times. Andre Jackson can't shoot very well. There's still some flaws in that offense that I don't know are super fixable. Second weekend, absolutely. But I don't know if they have the Final Four push in them.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. I think that the flaws right now are glaring, and I think you could argue they have the lowest floor of any of the top five teams. But I think when they're running well, that their ceiling's up there with anybody. But obviously, they need to figure out some serious issues that, you know, have been sustained for about 3 weeks now.
Yeah. Well, I look at this UConn team, too, and the two issues I see for tournament play, one, they don't have a go-to guard who can score for them and create his own shot. They reminded me a little bit of an Auburn team last year where their best players you want taking shots in the clutch are down low, which then means if you're trying to have sets at the end of games, you have to get the ball to somebody to make it happen. You can't just have a creator doing something. I think we saw issues with that at the end there against Xavier. And this is a UConn team that fouls a ton too. And this isn't a Big East that's physical. And we can talk about Big East officiating and the inconsistencies there, but they let them play in a way that doesn't always happen in March on a neutral site. It feels like UConn could be kind of one game with iffy officials away from being close against a team they shouldn't be close against, and they might not have the guy to make the shots at the end of games that the other team does. So they have it's a roster construction that I don't want to say it's built for the regular season, but it's the floor is low. The ceiling is high, but the floor is very low.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it. Yeah.
All right. There were a couple other games in the Big East. We're just going to briefly touch on these. Chris, I'm going to come to you first just because you're our Creighton guy here. Creighton St. John's. Blue Jays just blew the doors off the Red Storm in this one. Any takeaways?
St. John's defense without Posh, with how many possessions they play, you're going to give up a lot of points. Creighton only had 7 turnovers. St. John's needed to get Creighton into that 15-16 turnover range to compete, I think. Xander Yates played awesome. No, everyone played awesome. Creighton is back to what we kind of thought they'd be and continued to show that. So big one on Saturday, but good to get a win.
Yeah, KenPom says that Creighton right now is the third best team in the Big East, and they're starting to look like it. The 6-game losing skid is deep in the rearview mirror at this point. Now the Cockburners back, and for those who are just listening, Chris has Xander Yates fan in parentheses in his name in the video right now, so he's repping Xander Yates right there. I'll just briefly touch on the other game of the night, Providence Butler. As the Providence guy here, Friars actually got off to a rough start. Then Jared Bynum came back in for the first time since the UConn game. Friars immediately went on, I believe it was a 11-0 run. Might have been 15-0 run. I don't remember off the top of my head, but took the lead, never looked back, led the rest of the way, and dominated that one. Ended up winning 79-58 was the final score. Really wasn't close. They dominated the second half. So Friars back on track, 2 wins in a row here after heading to the Midwest last week and losing. That's the Tuesday-Wednesday action. We're going to look ahead real quick to the games this weekend. And the game of the weekend is going to be the first one, 12:15 Saturday on CBS, 12:15 Eastern, Xavier at Creighton. Chris, again, you're the Creighton guy, so I want to come to you first on this one. What are your thoughts going into this game?
Man, that first game was fantastic, right? Like it was one of my favorite games of the college basketball season so far this year. So I'm really looking forward to the rematch. Creighton needs more bench production if they want to play the super up-tempo game that we saw them play the first time against Xavier. But the fortunate thing is the bench has played a lot better since that game. Against St. John's, the bench played fantastic. So we'll see, right? But I think Creighton should want to slow it down. I expect a score in the upper 70s instead of the 80s or 90s this time around. But give me Creighton in a close one. Home court still matters a whole bunch.
Ryan, I know we had mentioned earlier on Twitter, we were talking about Colby Jones and Baylor Shireman kind of going back and forth in this one. Is this the matchup you're looking for on Saturday, or are you looking somewhere else?
That'd be a great matchup. Yeah, I think that's a great matchup. You also want to see what Ryan Cockbrenner does with Jack Nungi. If he's able to dominate him, Jack Nungi has similar size to Cockbrenner. But if Xavier's able to pull this off, they're kind of separating themselves from the rest of the top of the Big East, taking 2 big road wins this week, you know?
If Xavier wins, do we think they're the favorite to win the regular season championship here in the Big East?
I think win or loss, they're still the favorite. I mean, that was an impressive win that they had at UConn, and I mean, this game is going to be huge for them, for the Xavier team. KenPom has Creighton winning this game by 5, which I'm a little surprised by, but I guess I shouldn't be since it's at Creighton. You know how tough it is to play there. We got to remember that this Creighton team was unanimously picked to be the number one team in the conference before the preseason. I mean, John Rothstein, like I said last podcast, I said this exact same thing. Rothstein had him as a number 2 team in the country. in the preseason. I mean, talent's not the issue for this team. Coaching is not the issue. But like UConn, they needed to all click at the same time. I think that they're starting to get into this groove, and this game's going to tell us a lot about these Blue Jays right now.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see this Creighton defense against the Xavier offense, especially with Kalkbrenner there, who last year's Defensive Player of the Year, probably the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year this year in the conference, if I had to guess, just based on what we've seen, how that matches up. It's going to be really, really interesting. And Creighton and UConn are the only two teams here to have kind of equal offensive and defensive efficiency, to have teams that are good at both on KenPom. Marquette, Providence, Xavier, all teams that have worse, much worse defenses than offenses. So I want to see how that balance plays. And this is kind of a, it's for Xavier, these two road games at UConn, at Creighton, it's how good is their offense compared to two teams that are very, very balanced and playing at home. So Xavier can steal this one. To get these two road wins in 1 week, they have to be the favorite to win the conference at that point after doing that. Another note for this one, in the 11:15 a.m. start time local, which is crazy to have a morning basketball game out there. This is the pink out for Creighton. We're getting the white jerseys with pink lettering for the Blue Jays. Chris, I believe this is a breast cancer awareness thing, and they raise money.
Yep. Auction off a bunch of stuff. It's a good deal every single year. Pink night for pink out night and dollar beer night same week this year, which is very cool. Very cool.
Huge week out there in Omaha.
Yeah. This should be make my way out to Omaha.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Tommy, did you guys all make picks on this one?
I didn't. I'm gonna take Creighton just because they're at home. I think it's very even.
Yeah. Chris, I know you were Creighton. Ryan, did you pick Creighton too?
I didn't, but I will pick Creighton. I think they defend home court.
I'll be different. I'll say Xavier. I like that offense and what they're doing. And I think they might, with Fremantle and Nungy down low, I think they might have something going against Creighton there. So intrigued to see how this one plays out. That's definitely the game of the weekend. Later on that Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern on FS1, we got Marquette at DePaul. We'll go through this one kind of quickly. Tommy, we'll start with you. I know we had Lawrence on here who predicted a DePaul victory in this one. Are you siding with him? Do you think they're able to get the upset?
No, I don't. And that's not so much a knock on DePaul as it is. I think Marquette is just that good. This game is sold out, and I don't think that that's all DePaul fans, to be quite honest with you. Marquette historically travels well. So I think that they're going to make the trip down. I think it's going to almost feel like an away game for DePaul, and Marquette's just that much better. I'm going to take Marquette by a lot here.
Chris, you in agreement?
Yes, with a caveat. Do we know Jalen Terry's? What's up? What's his deal?
I don't have any information on his injury and when he's going to be back. I don't know if we know.
I think Jalen Terry is actually mega good. I think he matters a lot to DePaul. If he's in the lineup or coming off the bench, I think DePaul is able to keep it within, 10 to 12. If he's out again, then yeah, expect kind of a rout.
Ryan, you in agreement, or is DePaul pulling the upset?
Marquette has one of the best offenses in the country. DePaul doesn't play defense. I think it's an ugly one early.
Yeah, I'm with Ryan on this one. This is a tough matchup here for DePaul, and yeah, I, with what Tommy said too, it's gonna be a lot of fans in the building rooting for the team in blue and yellow there, not the team wearing the white home jersey. So yeah, we think Marquette is going to take that one. The only other Saturday game, the late afternoon slot on FS1, Seton Hall at Butler. This is a Butler team badly in need of a win after what happened here on the East Coast. Their trip, 2 blowouts at UConn and Providence. Ryan, coming back around your way here. Is Butler able to get back in the win column at home?
You know, Seton Hall traveling to Hinkle, I don't know if they have a big win on the road. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. You know, obviously they get the one against UConn. I think it's a pretty close game. Holloway wants to stay in the middle of the pack and on the bubble for the NCAA tournament. So that's a pretty big game for Seton Hall. They need to pull that off. I think that's a sneaky good game.
It'll be competitive. That's for sure. At least it should be. Butler's been a much better team at home than on the road. They've gotten killed on the road their last four games out. And yeah, Seton Hall, they don't have any big road wins. They did almost win at Xavier. They came within 3 points there at the Cintas Center, which is very, very interesting. Ryan, what's your pick on this one?
I like what Holloway is doing. He got blown out by Marquette, but I think that he's going to have his boys ready to go.
Taking the Pirates? Chris, you taking the Pirates too?
Yeah, everything you need to know about Butler you can be found on Mr. DeRosa's Twitter page. They're not very good. They're just not. It's not working. So yeah, give me Seton Hall. I don't think it's going to be particularly close.
We have a lot of agreement on the picks on this show, and it's making me worried that we're all wrong.
Yeah. I'd love to take Butler, but I can't talk myself into it. It was good to see Manny Bates back against Providence. I mean, he played like 20 minutes and he had 6 points and 2 rebounds, which, like, whatever. He's coming back from injury. It would be nice to see him kind of get going again, coming back from that knee injury. But even if he does get – I mean, I just don't know which Butler team is going to show up. So, you know, just strictly for the sake of being different, I'm going to pick the Hinkle Magic and the Bulldogs.
Both of these teams have just been so inconsistent this season that it's hard to know what you're going to get. I'll take Hinkle Magic here too. I'll take Butler just because they're at home, and that's when they've been a much, much better team. So I'll take them there. I don't feel great about it, but I'll take Butler to win this one, which I think would be a real, real tough mark for Seton Hall's at-large bids. I think Seton Hall needs this one to stay alive there on the bubble. Last time I checked, they were in exactly one bracket on Bracket Matrix. So we'll see if that means the case.
I've seen them next four, next eight out. But, you know, they're right there on the bubble.
Yeah, they got a shot. And they have some quality wins in there. Let's not forget, Butler actually has at one point, it looked like Butler could be an at-large team with that win over Kansas State. But that resume has fallen apart in a hurry, especially with the quality of loss they've had there. So, yeah, I'll see. Butler can play spoiler here and kind of end Seton Hall's at-large bids, I think, with a win. We'll head real quick over to the Sunday games. This one... Interesting situation. Providence at Villanova at the Wells Fargo Center, noon Eastern on Sunday. This one will tip off 3 hours before the NFC Championship game between the Eagles and the 49ers. And what, 500 feet away? These two buildings are immediately next to each other and share a parking lot. Now, some of us are going to be in attendance for that one. We're going to have to brave the Eagles fans tailgating in the parking lot to get in the building. The very scary and mean Eagles fans, right, Tommy? Yeah.
Those are my people, Matt. Watch them out. That's my family you're talking about. Yeah, but if I'm driving you down here, you better wear your seatbelt on the way home because this game's going to get over at 2. We're going to be home by kickoff. but yeah, I don't – this is going to – Villanova's just had so much time. They've had 9 days off since they last played. So, I mean, they won a pillow fight against St. John's. It was good to see them get a win, especially on the road in the Big East. I don't know which team is going to come out after this 9-day absence. I don't know who is going to come out after this 9-day absence. Take that for what you will. But I'm just going to pick Villanova because, you know, obviously.
Chris, where are you going on this one?
Yeah, I will go Villanova as well. Yeah, a 9-day layoff is... It's a lot of time. A lot of time to get healthy, time to get better. I anticipate somebody maybe making a guest performance, I guess, in that game. Give me Villanova, especially, at home. I like the spot.
How about you, Ryan?
I liked what we saw from Nova's defense against St. John. Neptune's kind of playing with it. He's done a couple different things that isn't traditional to Jay Wright. But he kind of messed around with them because obviously that had been their weak spot. I think they're trending in the right direction. Are they trending fast enough to beat a really good Providence team? No, I don't think so.
Yeah. This is tough. I know Jared Bynum was back in the lineup a little bit in the last game for the Friars. He was on a minutes restriction. I'm assuming he'll still be on a minutes restriction on Sunday. I don't think that he's got an abdominal injury, and I don't think that's going to clear up before noon Sunday. It's that Villanova defense. I can't tell. And I was there watching it, and I can't tell you if it was the Villanova defense tightening or if that was a St. John's offensive issue. And that's kind of what we have to figure out here. That St. John's half-court offense is not good right now, and they're not scoring on most teams. So how it looks, I don't know. It's tough to evaluate if that was a six-minute blip at the end of a game for Villanova or if they discovered something new that's going to carry over. I'm going to take the Friars just because I think they've been the better team this season. And even if this turns into a defensive game, unless Justin Moore is playing, I like the Friars to hit a shot late here over Villanova, just based on the guys that have been out there, probably. I also just want to mention Bryce Hopkins versus Cam Whitmore there at the four, I think is going to be a fantastic, fantastic matchup to watch. Two guys who could get drafted this year. We'll see what happens. Tommy, are we getting a Justin Moore sighting?
I hope so. I have no inside knowledge.
That is the rumor. John Fan to put that out. We may see him as early as this game. So that could change things. Villanova definitely good enough to kind of play spoiler and put a loss on the Friars resume here. One final game for the weekend. St. John's at Georgetown, 2 Eastern on Sunday. This one's going to be at Madison Square Garden. Tommy, we'll come to you with this one. St. John's lost their last game at MSG. Do they make up for it here against Georgetown?
Am I a psycho? Am I going to do it? I don't know. I might do it. You know, let's just ride the wave. Let's ride the Patrick Ewing wave. Primo Spears is going to score 40 points in this game, this fast-paced offense. St. John's is probably going to win. I'm picking Georgetown. Why not? Let's start a streak.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Without Posh, man, St. John's was not good. AJ Storr and Colby King, their like efficiency metrics on like Evan Mia and websites like that are atrocious. If Posh is there, maybe it changes things, but I'm going to just assume he's out, and I will say Georgetown keeps it going.
Yeah, does anybody have any information on the Posh injury?
We need injury reports in college basketball at this point, especially now that there's gambling on it. That's something that should absolutely be coming out. No more Butler putting out a tweet 15 minutes before the game saying, here's who's not playing today.
And there's like 11 names. Yeah.
I think I'm rolling with the Johnnies either way. They've beaten enough bad teams that we know there's a little differential between them and the bottom tier.
Yeah, I tend to agree, but this is a Georgetown team that I think is good enough to beat St. John's on a good day, and a St. John's team that is all over the place again with that lack of consistency. And we'll see. I'm curious what the crowd's going to be like for this game. There's a lot of fans in the building for the last one to watch the Red Storm lose. I can't imagine a lot of people are coming out, especially on a day with a lot of big football games. People probably aren't coming in for that. They're staying home, and they're going to sit in front of the TV. So we'll see what happens. If it's a quiet arena too, I feel like Georgetown might be able to steal a little momentum and get some fans in the building too. And we'll see. I said on Twitter that I think Georgetown wins this one, gets a 2-game winning streak and doesn't win again. I'm holding true to that. I'm taking Georgetown to win this one. So that's going to do it for our preview and recap section here of what's going on this week. Now let's get on to the draft. So we're each drafting a team of 8 players, and we're going to go around here. We're going to do a little snake draft. The order, it's going to be Chris has the first pick, then Ryan, I'll pick third, and then Tommy, and then we'll flip it there in the second round. Starting to go through some of this. I don't have a timer or anything like that. We're not doing that, but we are going to get through this. And Chris, you are on the clock with the number one pick in the 2022-23 Big East draft.
A little sneak peek into Chris's life today. I went back and forth on two guys for hours. And what I decided on, and I'll just go through my thought process because why not? I was between Ryan Kalkbrenner, who I think is the best player in the conference, and Bryce Hopkins, who I think is the most unique player in the conference. And I think Kalkbrenner matters maybe more than anyone to his team in the Big East, but Bryce Hopkins brings something that maybe nobody else can bring, that power forward that can shoot and faster than guys that guard him, but still really strong. It's like Arthur Kaluma, except better and bigger and faster. So I will go with Bryce Hopkins as the number one pick.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. I did not see that one coming. The possible Big East player of the year right there from Providence. The forward, Bryce Hopkins, goes number one overall. We got Ryan now with the second pick.
I mean, I think you're exactly right, Chris. I think those are the top two. I would have rather had Hopkins, but I'll settle with Cockburner.
It's a good settle.
Yeah, oh, wow. Let me tell you this. I ran through a lot of simulations on this. Not simulations. I was going through this in my head earlier, and there was not one where these were the first two players off the board. So I'm going to need a second to think about this. Okay. Oh, man. All right. Yeah, I know where I'm going with this one. Going with the guard from Xavier. Give me Sule Boom. I want the scorer. He was electric last night at UConn, and his ability to elevate a team is incredible. So I'm taking Boom at number three. Tommy, you got four and five here.
Four and five. Wow. Thank you guys, by the way. I really appreciate it. There's so many good big men in the Big East. I feel like I can wait for one. And Matt, you know what I have to say about all these big men in the Big East?
What?
Fuck them. Give me Tyler Kohler.
Oh!
At number four?
I want, as a Villanova fan, I know what it's like to not have a solidified point guard on offense. I want that quarterback. I'm going to get a couple of getters, and I'm going to lock down. I've got my quarterback on offense. Now I'm going to get my anchor on offense.
I'm going to say these were my top four. You guys, we picked out my top four.
Wow. So Tom, who you got at five?
Give me the preseason player of the year, Adama Sanogo.
Ooh. All right. I like it. These teams starting to take shape. We're coming back to me on this one. And I want a player who I think can really do it all, can access all areas of the court, and score in a way that'll really space the floor. Going with another guy who transferred into the Big East this year, Baylor Shireman from Creighton.
That's a rock solid.
Yeah.
Ryan, now back to you. Yeah, Chris, did I take your pick?
I was pissed, yeah.
I'm going to go right down the same path. I'm going to get a wing, two-way player. He doesn't score at the same rate as Shireman, but he's a better defender. I'm taking Colby Jones.
Love that.
Great pick. Yeah, I think you could go either way with the two of those. All right, Chris.
Yeah, I was wanting to go Shireman there to get the two of the top three rebounders and have them both be wings. Instead, I will go down low and go, yeah, full of great big men is the Big East, but this one stands out as maybe a little bit different than the rest. Oso will be my pick there. So I get Hopkins and Oso as my 4-5.
All right, and now you're right back on the board here with the snake. So,
yeah,
who you got with pick nine?
Boy, oh boy, this is where it gets a little bit tough, and I don't know if he's going to be around again when it gets back to me. So I'm going to maybe take a little bit of a reach. Okay.
All right.
Now let's do some trivia here. Okay.
Ooh, love trivia.
Big East player averages 10, 5, and 4. And per Evan Maya, is the second best defensive player in the Big East.
Is it Kadari Richmond?
It is Kadari Richmond.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
A good pick.
A very good pick. Very interesting. Richmond goes at 9. Ryan, we're coming back around to you now.
So I'm right in the same boat as you. I need a point guard. You know.
This is tough. It gets tough around here.
It's tough.
It does. And you have
four seconds at this point.
I'm gonna go with a guy who's more of a pass first, but you know he can run the offense. He's not going to turn the ball over. And the kind of the quarterback like Tommy's talking about, I'm going Ryan Nemhard. Pair him up with Cockburner again. It's obviously worked before.
I like that. That was I kind of had this tiered out in mind, and That was the last point guard I had in my top tier. I had Nemhard, Kolek, and Boom all right up there in that. I really like that pick. All right, coming back around to me here. Hmm. Let's see. Well, you know what? I think I like the way this could work. I like the way you just united two players who played together. So I'm going to do something very similar here. Taking another Xavier guy to play with Boom. Give me Zach Fremantle.
Oh, damn it, man.
You got plenty of scoring.
We're playing. Yeah. We're only playing offense on my team. All right, Tommy.
All right. So I got my point guard and Tyler Kolek. I mean, we're just are we go with all like teammates here? I don't know. I need some bucket getters on my team. I don't think he's been picked yet. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm gonna go Cam Jones here.
Oh, I almost picked him there. That's a great pick. And you got another one here.
I do have another one. This is where it gets tough. You guys, golly. Oh, geez. All right. I'm going to let my bias show a little bit. Give me Cam Whitmore.
Ooh.
I got two Cams. Back-to-back Cams off the board.
Can you run through your team real quick?
Yeah, I got the teams in front of me. I was gonna recap it now that we're through three. So Chris with the first overall pick, he has Bryce Hopkins, Osa Iguodaro, and Kadari Richmond. Ryan, you have Kalkbrenner, Colby Jones, and Nemhard. I have Sule Boom, Baylor Shireman, and Zach Fremantle. And Tommy has Kolek, Sanogo, Cam Jones, and Cam Whitmore. All right, I'm looking at this. We mentioned how my team's all offense. I do need somebody who can play defense to some sort of a degree. And I like making this pick now since I have shooters around him. That's going to make his life a lot easier. Give me a guard that can play defense. I'm taking Devin Carter from Providence to play on my team.
He's a good, sneaky, under-the-radar defensive player of the year candidate.
He really is. He could be in a – he's got years of eligibility left, so we'll see what he looks like with a little bit of time here. Ryan, we're back to you here in the fourth round.
I need a shooter, and you guys have been nice enough to leave one of the best in the Big East. I'm taking Jordan Hawkins. Also kind of an underrated two-way player. He guards his position pretty well.
Just a rock solid pick right there.
Yeah, kind of surprised that it fell almost to me in the fourth round here. Okay, so I got Kadari Richmond, who's a 40% free three-point shooter and one of the better defenders in the league. Two big men. Now I will get the heart and soul of the team here. We'll go with Mr. Daniels of Villanova. Yes, Caleb Daniels is the fourth leading scorer in the Big East. Plays really solid defense. Is not afraid to shoot the ball. And I think is not given enough credit this year just because of where Villanova lies in the standings, but he's having a very good year. He's a great player.
He's had an awesome year. If Villanova was better, I think he'd be in the Big East Player of the Year conversation with what he's done. Chris, we're right back to you again.
Okay. I will follow in Ryan's footsteps and go with a UConn player. And I am notorious for criticizing his shooting. But give me some defense, give me some speed. We'll go with the number one player in the Big East on Evan Maya, Andre Jackson.
All right. So you've made five picks here, Chris. Your team, Hopkins, Iguodaro, Richmond, Daniels, and Andre Jackson.
Smells like a championship.
All right, Ryan, what do you got for us here?
I need a four. I'm going to take a guy who's a two-way player. Can defend the position well. He also can score. I'm going to take Arthur Kaluma.
Ooh. That's another good one there. I like that.
I also have three Blue Jays. Sorry, Chris.
Stealing all the Creighton guys over there. All right, let me look at my team for a sec here to figure out exactly what it is that I need. See, you left me with something here. Oh, man. I don't know if I can – I don't know if this is the right pick, but I also don't know if I can pass it up, and that's what I'm trying to think about here.
I know exactly who it is, too, and I'm thinking of the same thing.
My only issue is that this guy plays with somebody on my team, and they've had their issues, so.
Hmm. Do it. Do it.
No, I think I'm going to go away from it because I think I can get better value later. Give me, you know what? I want a physical big who can do a lot for me right now. And I'm a little bit surprised he's still on the board. I'm going to go with a Marquette play here. Give me Omax Prosper.
Okay.
Multiple positions. Yeah. It's a good spot.
My team's got some versatility. All right, Tommy, you got back to back.
Excuse me.
All right. Well, that is not who I wanted you to pick, so I'm going to need 1 second here. all right. Again, this doesn't fit my team per se, but I mean, you know what? Screw it. I get back-to-back picks, right?
Yeah, yep. You got two of them.
Oh, great. All right. So to round out my starting five, going to go with Javen Johnson here. I need a bucket getter.
All right.
He is one of those. And a player coming off the bench to replace Sanogo when he gets tired is going to be Joel Soriano.
Damn, that was my pick.
All right. I like it. Shoot, that was already back around to me. All right. We're doing this now. I'm going Jack Nungy. I'm a little surprised that he's still on the board right now. And I'm aware I'm concerned about my paint defense right now with Nungy and Fremantle playing together again, but we're doing it because he's too good of a scorer.
Yeah.
Ryan?
And that brings it to me, and I need a replacement for Joel Soriano. That's a great pick. I can't believe he lasted this long.
Same.
You know what? Give me Ed Croswell. Give me Ed Croswell backing up Kalkbrenner. Like, eighth in the league in rebounds. He's all toughness. He's all heart. Culture guy. He's going to give you, you know, I need 15 minutes from him, 10 minutes from him to back up Kalkbrenner, and he's going to play his ass off.
I think you could play him next to Kalkbrenner, too, and make that work potentially. And yeah, your offensive rebounding is going to be nice with him out there. All right, Chris, you got the back-to-back. See where you're going.
Okay. First, I need a backup big. This guy knows his way around a backup big role. We'll go with Mr. Klingon out of UConn. Donovan Klingon, for my money, is one of the best interior defenders in the conference. And yeah, he'll fill that role well coming off the bench for Oso. And then, yeah, Bryce Hopkins at the four. That's a pretty solid 1-2-3 down low.
And then who's your next pick there?
Trey Alexander. Nice. Need a shooter off the bench. And Trey's just a scorer, man. Yeah, I saw him in person against DePaul put up that 32 points, I think. Trey knows how to put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, he's taking his scoring to another level this year. He's something impressive. Ryan, back to you. We're in the seventh round here. We're rounding out our rosters. Who you got?
I think I'm gonna go from my microwave here. Coming off the bench, I'm gonna go Primo Spears. You know, slot him in, tell him to take three shots in a row, see what kind of game it's going to be.
I love that. That was my pick as well.
Oh, that's a great one. All right, I'm going to go for something. I mean, we're just not doing defense on my team right now. This guy's been banged up. He's not having his best year, but I'm buying into what he has been in the past and can be. And my team also right now does not have a true facilitator. Sule Boom can be that, but I want somebody else, a guy who can come off the bench and help him out when we need somebody who can carry the ball. I'm going Jared Bynum right here. We've already seen what he can be as a sixth man last year, and he's going to do it for my team this year. He's the spark plug.
It's a great value pick.
Thank you. All right, Tommy, you got your last two picks right here. How are you going to flesh this out?
Well, I know my last pick. It's the one before that that's going to be tough. I was going to go Mo Gibson here, but I just out of principle can't have two DePaul players on my team. I think I do want to lock down my defense here off the bench. I don't know if this guy is draftable, but I think, you know, if we need a stopper, I'm going to go to Seton Hall. I'm going to go to Newark. And I'm going to go grab Casey and Defo.
Oh, that is a fantastic pick right there.
I mean, you reading my notes? Come on.
I feel like you're reading mine. And for my last pick, ladies and gentlemen, every team needs one of these players.
Is it going to be Chris Archidiakono?
Xander Yates?
Even better. It is another Villanova player. I go to every Villanova game. This kid, he's the first one out there. He doesn't take a shot in warmups. He passes the ball to the other players. When I go to practices, he wears a green jersey. Everyone else is wearing blue and white. He's the loudest. He's always standing up on the bench, encouraging his guys. Give me Colin O'Toole from Villanova for the vibes.
Love that.
You go. Is that the morale pick?
100%.
That's awesome. I like it.
100%. Give me Colin O'Toole. That's a champion right
there. All right. I like it. You got to have that. I think my team, I'm looking at my roster right now. I got Sule Boom. I got Jared Bynum. I got Devin Carter. I got Shireman. I got Fremantle. I got Omax Prosper. I got Jack Nunji. I think I need another big, probably, who can play a little bit of defense. I can't believe Eric Dixon is still on the board.
Same.
But I also think I need shot blocking. I need somebody with that high. Jack Nunji is not always he's not always the best defender, and I need somebody who can give me 10 to 15 good minutes of defense. I'm between Manny Bates and Tyrese Samuel right now.
Oh, there's a right answer here.
Chris, what's your answer on this one?
I'm trying to beat your team. Yeah.
Think I'm going Tyrese Samuel?
Nice job.
Yeah, I'm going Tyrese Samuel to round out my team. Ryan, your last pick.
While we have a little downtime, I just want to put all the viewers on that are watching this on Twitter, YouTube, wherever you're watching it. Please look at Ryan's shirt. It's probably the coolest shirt I've ever seen in my life. Ryan, show it off.
Oh, yeah, we need a shout out for that.
Wow. All credit bad for all the Spotify and Apple Music listeners right now because it's a fire shirt. Just had to get that out there.
All credit to my girlfriend who found it on eBay for me for Christmas. She's awesome, and she knows how much I love the Big East.
I love that. That's an amazing gift. I might need one. I need to find one now.
I think since Tommy took my guy in Defo, I'll go over to Seton Hall and take their second best defender. I'll go with Femi Odekali. As a wing defender, backing up Jones, and if I need a stop, and he can play multiple positions.
All right, I like it. That's Ryan's last pick. Chris, you started this thing. I'll let you end it. Who's the last pick?
I don't know about if this is cheating, but I'm going to throw out Justin Moore.
I didn't think about that.
Second half of the season, you never know what will happen. Justin Moore is when healthy, he's certainly one of the at least five best players in this conference. So, I have a backup guard. I have a backup big man. Give me a flyer in Justin Moore.
So Chris gets Justin Moore for his team, but he only gets him for the last third of games of the season. That's how
yes,
it works.
You can. The asterisk is I get Xander Yates until Justin Moore is healthy.
Well, you give him that.
Tommy, would you like an asterisk with somebody you would like alongside Colin O'Toole or?
Absolutely not. No.
Okay.
No, I'm riding with my guy Colin O'Toole, but I'd take Mo Gibson if not.
All right. I like it. So the final team is here. Chris, you got Bryce Hopkins, Osa Ikhadaro, Kaderi Richmond, Caleb Daniels, Andre Jackson, Donovan Klingon, Trey Alexander, and Justin Moore.
And Xander Yates,
yes. Ryan, you had Kalkbrenner, Colby Jones, Nemhard, Jordan Hawkins, Arthur Kaluma, Ed Croswell, Primo Spears, and Femi Udikale. I got Sule Boom, Baylor Shireman, Zach Fremantle, Devin Carter, Omax Prosper, Jack Nungy, Jared Bynum, and Tyrese Samuel. And then Tommy got Tyler Kolek, Adama Sinogo, Cam Jones, Cam Whitmore, Javen Johnson, Joel Soriano, Casey Indefo, and Colin O'Toole and or Mo Gibson. With that last one, how do you guys feel about your teams?
I love it. Love my team.
I love Thomas.
He's going to play serious minutes here. I don't know how that's going to go, but you know, no one has a bigger heart than Colin O'Toole. So
I have the best defensive team by a mile, in my opinion.
You think so?
Offensively, I give the edge to Matt.
Yeah, I mean, with Kalkbrenner, that helps too. Oh, wait, no, sorry. That's Ryan's team.
Yeah, I got caught.
Yeah. Yeah, Kadari Richmond, Bryce Hopkins. Yeah, you got
Andre Jackson.
And clinging at the shot blocker. Yeah, I love it. Who's your – oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's a nice defensive lineup right there. And we're gonna put all these in a graphic on Twitter for you guys too, so you can vote on whoever you think has the best lineup of all of these, what you guys choose. But, yeah, this is I like these teams. That was fun. Yeah, some of the guys who were left out. So Mo Gibson, I'll count him for you there, Tommy. Since you
don't.
Claim,
don't he's on JV right now.
Okay, he's on JV. So Mo Gibson, Adam Kunkel, a little surprised to not see him get a pick. Eric Dixon, Simas Lakosius, Noah Locke, Brandon Murray,
Posh.
Posh. Tristan Newton didn't get a look. Brandon Slater didn't. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Caravan, a cook, Manny Bates, all guys who didn't get anything there. We're narrowing it down to four teams here. There's only so many spots, but there's still some good players left on the board.
Yeah, definitely a lot of talent.
Yeah. All right. I think that's going to do it for us in this episode. Any last thoughts from anybody heading into the weekend? We'll go around the horn here to wrap up. What is it you're most looking forward to in Big East basketball this weekend? Ryan, we'll start with you. We'll work our way around.
It'll be my first time at the Wells Fargo Center. It'll be my first time seeing a home Villanova game, so I'm really hyped for that.
Chris?
Nembhard Boom Part 2.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. Tommy?
I am excited to take you to try your first real Philadelphia cheesesteak and whatever other activities we get into that Saturday night. but... Yeah, I think this Providence-Villanova game is going to be so interesting. I don't know what's going to happen with the personnel in that game. I don't know what Villanova team is going to show up. It's always tough playing in Philadelphia. The crowd's going to be raucous. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
Should be a good one. I'm looking at a weekend of the wings. I want to see Shireman and Jones on Saturday and Bryce Hopkins and Cam Whitmore on Sunday. That's going to be my focus in this one. That's what I'm going to zero in on. That's going to do it for us in this episode. Thank you, everybody, for joining me. Make sure you go check all of them out on Twitter and us out on Twitter. Check out our website. Subscribe wherever you're listening to this and to our YouTube channel to get the video podcast. The Selection Sunday is creeping up on us, boys. We're at nearly six weeks, I think. Yeah, in 6 weeks, it'll be the Big East tournament. So it's... Yeah, time is flying here, and the next thing you know, it's going to be March. So make sure you stick with us for all the content. It's been a fun one, guys. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thanks, everybody, for listening.